So before I get started, let's open up with prayer just to calm myself down. Lord, I just ask you, dear God, that you will help me to have clarity of mind, that you will give me the words that you want me to say. I pray that every heart, dear God, would be open and that you would give them what they need to hear. We thank you, dear Jesus, for all that you do, all that you have given us in your precious name. Amen. When Pastor first came to Peace Chapel, he had some amazing ideas. One of these ideas was the location of my office, and if you who have been here for a while would remember, it was right there in the back of the sanctuary. I remember him telling me he wanted me to move to the lower level. In my mind, the only room available was the room at the end of the hall, and trust me, I was excited. I thought I was getting an office with a closet and a bigger space. Well, one day, Pastor showed up in my office and kindly told me that was not his vision. He wanted me to be the first room in the next-gen hallway where I could see everything and be seen. Although I thought he had a great point, I could not see his vision. That room was full of outreach and children's ministry supplies. Plus, I had a closet with supplies in my current office that would need a new home. I kept thinking, where are we going to put all this stuff? And will this room be big enough? Although I thought this would not work, I also knew God had given Pastor the vision, and I needed to surrender and trust his vision. So Pastor worked alongside me, encouraging me that it would work as we unloaded that room. I don't know if you have ever undertaken a project like that, but it had a domino effect. Emptying that room meant reorganizing the closet at the bottom of the stairs, which led to reorganizing the closet at the end of the hall. And to my amazement, however, nearly everything fit. And what didn't fit, we found a new place for it. Over the next 3 years, I have found my office to be a place of peace, of comfort, and of refuge. Need I say, I have loved that space. When Pastor asked me if I wanted to preach today, I had a lot of things rolling around in my head. But one thing kept coming to me over and over. If I could say one thing to my church family, what would it be? I have titled today's message, God is Still Writing Your Story. If you have been here for at least a few years, you would have seen at one time or another me wear one of my favorite t-shirts, which states, God is still writing your story. Stop trying to steal the pen. As kids, we grow up with dreams of who we will become, what our life will be like. And as we grow into adults, we often still hold tight to the dreams of what we are hoping for. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe dreaming isn't a bad thing. But I also believe there comes a point where we need to surrender our dreams to God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Think about that, friends. God created you and prepared in advance what he desired for your life. He gave you gifts that are unique to you. He gave you a personality to fit his plan that has both strengths and weaknesses, so you will depend upon him. Psalms 139, 13 through 16 tells us, "For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How amazing to know God formed us, and while he knitted us together, he ordained my days. Isn't it amazing that we serve a God who loves us more than we can imagine and who sees greater things in us than we see in ourselves? If we look back through history, we can see a group of people who God loved and had a plan for. He delivered them from the hands of a terrible king. But when the Israelites reached the wilderness, surrendering to God's plan became a little more difficult. Even in their complaining and whining, God provided for them. What God was asking for was the first part of surrendering: obedience. His instructions were not hard, and they were very clear. He told them, take only what you need to eat for that day. It was in the wilderness the Ten Commandments came about. It was here that he gave instructions to the tribes on how they were to live once they reached the Promised Land. And if you read, you will find they challenged God every step of the way. You see, their focus was on what they wanted, a mighty king to come and deliver them from all the hardship, to live an easy life without pain and suffering. I would say we would all like to live a life without hardship. I would also venture to say that we are oftentimes no different today than the Israelites were back then. We have plans and dreams, things that we hope for. We build our life around what we want or hope our life to be. But when we feel God tells us in the middle of a successful career or in ministry, he wants us to do something totally different, or life brings a sudden change that changes the course of our life, we throw up our hands as if saying, now wait a minute, God. That was not the plan. Surrendering doesn't just require obedience. It also requires trust. Trust that God's plan is greater than your own. Trust that while God is preparing you and times seem hard, you are going to hold on. Trust for most of us is difficult. And maybe it stems from a past of not being able to trust people. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In Jeremiah 17:5-8, it speaks very clearly about trust. This is what the Lord says: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart takes away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by waters that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And what does it say? He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to be that tree, solid, being able to soak in all God has for me and touching all those around me. But to do that means trusting and surrendering to God's plan. Isn't it funny to think that we have a hard time sometimes trusting the God who created the universe, the God who knitted us together in our mother's womb, the God who loves us beyond measure? But when we surrender, oh, what joy, what peace God gives us. All we have to do is look at God's word to see people who trusted God beyond measure. Noah trusted God while everyone around him made fun of him making a boat in a desert. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood obedient to what God asked of them and trusted God when they were thrown in a fiery furnace and he delivered them. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and God delivered him. We cannot leave out Elijah, who trusted God to prove he was the one true God against 450 prophets of Baal. He confidently instructed the people to pour water all over his altar and sacrifice, and then he prayed a simple prayer. God sent down fire that consumed the entire offering. Each of these men confidently trusted God would deliver them, come through for them, because they understood they were a tool in God's plan. If you read very closely, you will find throughout God's word people who trusted in God unwaveringly. And in trusting, they fulfilled the last part of surrendering, relinquishing their control. You see, to say I trust means nothing if we are hanging with everything we got to what we want or the way that we want it. Fully surrendering is stepping out in obedience to the direction God is leading. Trusting God will be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path, and then letting go of trying to make things happen. Letting go of your fears, letting go of what others think, letting go of fixing whatever. As my t-shirt says, stop trying to steal the pen. Friends, your life is an amazing story, and quite frankly, God's not done writing it. If you have breath in your lungs, God has a plan for your life. It may not look like what you once thought just a year ago. If you told me that I would lose my husband, resign from a position that I love, move to Ohio, well, I probably would have been like those watching Noah build that boat and thought you lost your mind. But I can tell you this, although the journey has not been easy, I have grown in it. Although I wanted to steal the pen, I have seen that God has a greater plan. I can say without a doubt, I know God is leading me. And there is a peace and a joy in that. There is no greater feeling than surrendering to God, to the plan he has for you, to trust that although the journey may not always be easy, he is growing you and preparing you in it. And because it is Family Sunday, and of course, I'm still your children's ministry director, I'm going to have the kids come up. So Novi and Violet, would you mind coming up here? So, Julie and Pastor, would you come up here with us? Julie, I want you to take the blindfold and put it on the girls. And girls, I want you to face away from the congregation. Now, Pastor, you're going to stand behind Novi on the floor. So, girls, when Pastor calls your name, I want you to fall backwards and he will catch you. But don't do it until he calls your name. Okay, Pastor. That wasn't easy, was it, girls? It was hard to trust that Pastor would catch you, wasn't it? So who is it that we can always trust? That's right, God. We can always trust God. But did you know that God assigns leaders in the church to help to guide people to know Christ and to help lead the church in the direction that God wants it to go? And that's why he assigned our pastor to our church. And he's responsible to also oversee the people that are put into place so that those that are teaching you are teaching what God would want you to learn. So we can trust them as well because we know that God has put them into place. But the most important, most of all, that we can lean on, always knowing that we can trust, is who? That's right, it's God. So you can go back to your seats, girls. Just as he has a plan and a purpose for your life, he also has a plan and a purpose for Peace Chapel. And you are meant to be a part of it. Your church is like a family, and we all have a place. We all have a job to do. And when we do not fulfill our part, it is a burden to the rest of the family. So, my precious church family, you may not always like the vision that is given to the shepherd of this church, but remember, God did not call you to be the shepherd, and therefore, he did not give you the vision. It is your place to stand behind your pastor and his wife, to be Aaron and Hur, who held up Moses' arms so the waters would not overtake the people. Encourage and uplift and just watch and see God do great things in you, through you, and in this church.